Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. As we have seen, the water levels in and around the Sioux Falls area were significant. Mike Gillespie is a hydrologist with the National Weather Service, and he joins us today with the latest. Mike, thanks for taking time for us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Good morning.
All right. The sun is rising and the sun is shining here in Sioux Falls, and some of that water seems to be receding, but there's more to the story than that, isn't there? Give us where do you want to begin with sort of the big picture right now?
Yeah, we'll start with kind of what happened a little bit over the last couple of days. We had a pretty wet snowpack out there from I-90 northward, not quite so much south of there, but still decent amount of water. And then we had this storm system came through that produced 1 to 3 inches of rain on top of that snowpack and basically melted it all off from I-90 southward. And the combination of that rain and snow melt caused some very rapid and very significant rises on the area rivers and streams. We did see some of the biggest impacts, particularly around the Sioux Falls area here, were the result of water coming down Skunk Creek. We set several record levels on Skunk Creek, as well as the Big Sioux at Western Avenue on the south part of Sioux Falls here.
All right. So is the worst of it over? We're not out of the woods yet.
Yeah, as we sit right now, we're going to see things drying out and river levels dropping pretty good over the next 3 to 5 days, possibly even out through a couple weeks from now. It looks like generally we're in kind of a drier pattern. But as far as the flooding goes, once you get up north of Highway 34, Highway 14, and up into the northeast part of the state, the upper portions of the Big Sioux Basin and the James Basin, there is a huge amount of water still sitting in the snowpack up there that hasn't started coming off yet. So when that that snowpack up there finally does start melting off, we are going to probably see some more flood issues, even down in the southeastern part of the state.
All right. So tell us about people who are south of Sioux Falls then. What is, you know, what happens south of us?
Yeah, it's really going to depend on how fast that snowpack melts off and how much, if any, additional rain we put on top of that snowpack as it's melting. If we can continue the pattern that we're actually looking at for the next couple weeks, it's going to be a nice slow melt without any additional precipitation. If we can start taking off some of that snowpack over the next couple weeks, that'll help alleviate flood problems, not just up in the northeast, but also in the southeast. But the later we go without really starting to take off that snowpack, the greater the chances are of putting some rain on top of it and seeing it really come off fast. And if that happens, we're going to be looking at major flood conditions again, even in the southeastern part of the state.
Talk a little bit, if you will, about how any of this is managed and controlled. What do we have control over, and how do we sort of make it less devastating than it could be?
There's really not much you can do. You look around the city of Sioux Falls. They built up the levee system. They put in the diversion channel to try and control that. But that handles the water on the Big Sioux River. Then we had Skunk Creek that comes in from the west. That there's really not much you can do to control that, without building a levee system or something like that as well on there. But if you start building up the levees in one area, you're going to be pushing water back into areas that are upstream, and you're going to put bigger surges of water areas downstream because the water will move through faster. So there's only so much you can do when you get into these, kind of record-type events where you're looking at just the pure volume of water that's coming through. These rivers and streams aren't designed to handle it, and when you start building, residences, towns, cities in close to those rivers and streams, the potential is going to be there to have some flood issues.
Hmm. Talk a little bit, if you will, about this idea that take us back to last fall, and we've been addressing this over time with how wet that fall was for southeast South Dakota, and the ground is still saturated over the winter somehow. Can you explain that to us a little bit?
Yeah, everybody remembers all the heavy rains we had last summer and then again in September, early October last year across the southeast part of the state. Ended up with record rainfall in numerous locations last year. And the soils, as we got into the freeze-up period in December were still extremely wet. There wasn't a whole lot of time for those soils to dry out after that rain quit before the soil started freezing up. So it's like you take a sponge, put it in the freezer. If it's dry, you can still run water over it, and it's gonna soak some up. But if you put a wet sponge in the freezer and it freezes solid, it's like a piece of concrete. No water's gonna be able to soak into the soil. So all of this rain and snowmelt that we've had over the last several days has run off into the rivers and streams.
So when, how do we see, or can we see evidence of when that is starting, that underlying problem is starting to abate?
Yeah, we do have between the Weather Service and South Dakota State has put out a network of sensors that keep track of soil temperature and soil moisture. So we are monitoring that, but basically until we start getting some warmer temperatures or start getting some rainfall that can kind of help thaw at least the top several inches of the soil in east central northeast parts of the state. When that snowpack comes off, you know, there's just no way to thaw those soils out with that snowpack sitting on top of it.
Talk a little bit, if you will, about just the risks of the water as it moves so quickly. As people, you know, we keep telling them to, you know, make decisions not to go into flooded areas, to stay out of the Falls Park area, to just sort of see the sights. Tell us a little bit about the power of water and how it can kind of be unexpected in a lot of ways.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, it only takes 4 to 6 inches of water if it's moving at a rapid speed to be able to knock down a person. You know, you get into that 8 to 10 or 12 inches of water it's moving, it can cause any vehicle to start floating. Yeah, particularly, again, if it's moving at a rapid rate, which we saw with all of the streams and creeks with this one. So it doesn't take a whole lot of water depth if it's moving quickly to cause problems with either trying to walk through it or drive through it. The other issue that we had with this system the last couple days is the amount of ice that was still on the rivers and streams as the water started lifting up, breaking up that ice, moving it downstream. You know, we had, you know, any ice chunks, you know, 1 or 2 feet thick that were moving downstream, and those can also do a lot of damage if you're, you know, trying to drive across the flooded area and here comes a big chunk of ice that can easily knock a car off the road.
And in our remaining 30 seconds, are there places that we're looking at South Dakota in the near future that could flood? Any warnings or highlights?
In the short term, we're going to still be just kind of watching water levels drop on all areas, basically, again, south of I-90, from the James River over to the Big Sioux River. Any flooded fields and things like that are going to be kind of slow to dry out if there's water ponded in the fields. It's going to be a slow drying because of the cooler temperatures, but the worst of the flooding seems to be over or will be today as we kind of crest on some of those rivers.